Well, Proverbs 11, verse 1 is our primary text this evening, but I want to try and show the connection also with the verses 2 through 8. And let's just read that text again. The Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. I'm just a plumber. I'm just a painter. I'm just a secretary. I'm just a homemaker. I've lost count of the number of times I've heard various Christians say these words or similar to me. I'm just that. And I ask them often, well, why do you say that? Why do you say I'm just a? And invariably their answer is something like, well, you know, I'm not in Christian work. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a chaplain. I don't work for the church. I don't work for a Christian organization or charity. I'm not unhappy in my work. I enjoy my work. I feel I do good work, that it's useful. I enjoy serving other people in the home, in the factory, in the office, wherever. But it's just not Christian work. It's work, but I just don't feel that it's as meaningful, as significant, as important as it could be, should be. And if only I could do Christian work, if only I could be engaged in a Christian ministry, then I feel I would have a higher purpose. And I feel I would also get higher praise because although, yeah, I mean, I get appreciation from my clients, my customers, my patients, although my bosses, my managers commend me, yet, you know, I really crave commendation from God and praise from God in my daily work. And I just long for this, just a higher purpose for God and a higher praise from God. Well, believe it or not, Proverbs 11, verse 1 helps us with that challenge, that dilemma that many Christians face. It helps us to reconnect our daily work, our ordinary daily work, with our worship. It helps us to reconnect our labor with the Lord. And in reconnecting in that way, we will find a higher purpose in our work and a higher praise for our work. So the purpose that I want to bring before you tonight, no matter what job you do, whatever work you have, the purpose of that work is this. God tests you in your daily work. That's the whole point of your work. It's God is testing you. And we'll look at that in more detail, first of all. But secondly, we want to look at the praise. God delights in your daily work. So God tests us in our work, and God delights in our work, whatever that work may be. So how do we get that from this little text, you might ask? That's what we want to look at this evening. Let's look, first of all, at that first truth. God tests us in our daily work. God tests us in our daily work. And I want to look at this in three phases. We want to look, first of all, at the picture that we find in Proverbs. Then we want to look at the principle that we draw from that picture. And then we want to look at the practice, how that principle applies and works out in our daily lives. So the picture, the principle, and the practice. Okay? Now, let's look first of all then at the picture. What is the picture that is brought before us here? Well, it's the picture of scales, isn't it? The Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. Dishonest scales, a false balance. Well, what's this speaking about? Well, we have to travel back in time to understand this. We don't tend to see an awful lot of scales in our daily life today, but it was huge in these days. It was their technology, you might say. It was what made business function. And if you were to walk through the marketplaces of Solomon's day, You'd find at every stall there was a scale or a balance. And beside each of these balances were sets of stones. And each stone had a number etched on it, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. So imagine you were, let's just say, a grain merchant. Somebody comes to your stall and says, I'd like 3 stones of grain. Okay, what would you do? Well, you go and you pick the three stone, and you place that on one side of the scale, one side of the balance. And then you get your grain, and you start pouring it into the other side of the balance until it balances out. And then we have 3 stones of grain equal to the 3 stone weight. Okay? So that's the balance. What's a false balance, a false scale? Well, it was one of the common cons in these days that merchants would have 2 sets of stones, one for selling and one for buying. And so their selling stones might have a 3, a 2, and a 1 on it, but the 3 stone was actually only 2 stone heavy. So what does that mean? When somebody asks for 3 stones, he puts the 3 stone on this side, there's only 2, and he starts pouring out the grain. What happens? Well, it evens out a lot quicker, doesn't it, with a lot less grain. And so the buyer walks away, and she thinks, hey, I've got 3 stones of grain. Meanwhile, back at the stall, that merchant is laughing up his sleeve, as it were, smirking away. You know, I just made 33% more profit than I should have off that sale. So that's what a false balance was. And as if that wasn't bad enough, that he used lighter stones for selling, he also used heavier stones for buying. So Mr. Grain Merchant, he's on the way home, he's happy, he's made more money than he should have that day. He stops by the salt stall, and he says to the salt merchant, hey, I'd like a stone of salt. And the salt merchant says, yeah, sure, let me get my stones out. And the grain merchant says, no, we're going to use my stones. And so the grain merchant, he goes not for his other stones that he had used to sell, but now he goes for his heavier stones that he uses to buy. And he puts his 1 mark stone on this side of the scale. How much is it really? It's actually about 2, right? And so the salt merchant's pouring out his salt, and he's kind of puzzled. He thought, wow, this is more than seems usual. I must have sort of lost my scale in my head. But he keeps pouring, and eventually it balances out, and the grain merchant goes home, and he's got twice as much salt as he should have got. That's the picture here that God is bringing before us. The Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. What's this telling us? This grain merchant goes home, he's all happy, he's cheerful, he's made a mint that day, he's scammed people left, right, and center using the heavy stones when he shouldn't have and the light stones when he shouldn't have. And yet what we're being told here is, however happy you are, Mr. Grain Merchant, God is far from happy. That God is actually walking through the marketplaces. He's going through these dusty paths, and he's noting how people are dealing with one another, how they are buying and how they are selling, and he's watching and he's weighing how people deal with one another, whether they deal honestly or dishonestly, whether they are truthful or whether they are false. And indeed, it's more than that. He's not just noting, he's not just watching, and he's not just weighing. He's actually responding to what he sees. And so though Mr. Grain Merchant's got a big happy smile on his face, we're told here, the Lord abhors dishonest scales. The Lord is denouncing it. And contrary, though Mr. Honest doesn't make so much money, we're told accurate weights are his delight. His delight. You see the two ways of living and the two responses of God towards these two ways of living. One, he says, I abhor this. And the other, he says, I approve of this. In fact, it's more than that. He says, I abominate it and I delight in it. God doesn't just, you know, nod approvingly. There's actually emotional satisfaction and happiness expressed here. And you think, that's just a kind of small, insignificant transaction. I mean, this goes on hundreds and thousands of times a day. Are you really saying that God is watching every deal, every transaction, every buy and sell, and responding to it in this emotional, passionate way? No, I'm not saying that. The Bible's saying that. The Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. So that's the picture, right? This is something we'll get used to doing in Proverbs. You have to get inside the culture. You have to walk in that time period. You have to try and live out what was happening there. And then you might think, well, you know, it's very ancient. It's very old. We don't work like this today. This what relevance? Well, that's where the principle is so important, because although it's a time-bound picture, there's a timeless principle that we can take out of this verse. And that's what we're encouraged to do continually when we're looking at the book of Proverbs. Here is the timeless principle. God is in our workplace, watching and weighing our actions, denouncing dishonesty, and delighting in honesty. Let me just say that again, okay? Timeless principle. God is in our workplace, watching and weighing our actions, denouncing dishonesty, and delighting in honesty. That's the principle. Let's now put that into practice in our own day. Okay, so we've been in the past, we've drawn out a principle, and now we want to ask, okay, how do I practice this today? What does this look like today? We take this principle now and we try and make it concrete. We try and make this rubber hit the road of life. We want to ask, what does this look like for us? Well, I think there are three applications of this timeless principle, three practical applications. And the first one is this: God is in our workplace, right? That was the first part of the timeless principle. So what is your workplace? Is it a garage? Is it a factory? Is it a building site? Is it an office? Is it a sink? Is it a nursery? Is it a school? Is it a yard? What is it? We've all got a workplace. All of us are doing daily work. Even those of us who are retired, we're still buying, we're still selling, we're still dealing with people, we're still engaged in transactions, we still go about our daily business, either honestly or dishonestly, right? So it doesn't really matter whether we're really old or even if we're really young. You know, your workplace is maybe your school or amongst your friends, your dealings with your parents. God is in that workplace. He's in that place where you live out your life for him at that time in your life. So God's in our workplace. Secondly, God is watching and weighing our actions. Why? Why does God take such an interest in our work? Well, it's because that's where we probably spend most of our time. That's the majority of our lives for most of us. Our work, going to work, working, coming back from work, catching up on work. We might get some hour or two with our families, we sleep, and then it's back to work again. That's the majority place of our time, isn't it? Therefore, this is the place that God's extremely interested in what we do there. Yes, he's interested in what we do in church. He's interested in what we do at home, but he's also very interested in what we do at work, as not just this verse shows, but many others in the Bible. And therefore, it's the main place where God tests us, where he tests our morals, our values, and our beliefs. Church is not really a place where that's tested. It might be to some extent. You know, you might hear things from God's word and you don't like it, you don't agree with it, and it's a bit of a battle to believe it, to really say, well, I might not like it, but it's God's word. There's some tests there. But really, this is a relatively easy place. And maybe family also is relatively easy. It's this place where, you know, we're at home and we're surrounded by people who love us and who we love. And yeah, there's of course friction and difficulties now and again, but it's home is home. Home is where the heart is. But it's in the workplace, isn't it, that we're really challenged to be who we say we are in church and at home. We go out and we encounter friction. We encounter thorns and thistles. We have difficulties and challenges. We have temptations. And God is testing us there. He's weighing our actions. The marketplace was the workplace then. It's so different today. It's so diverse. And he's saying, I'm watching you. And I'm weighing. I'm assessing. I'm valuing who you are and what you do and what you say. And the third practical point here is God is noting honesty and dishonesty. So he's in the workplace, he's watching and weighing, and he's noting. He's looking especially for honesty and dishonesty. He's not looking primarily for how much money you're making, how far up the ladder you're getting. He's looking primarily for how honest are you in your daily work. And he's looking, is this honest or is this dishonest? Now, we might say, well, I mean, false weights, false balance, is this just, I don't have nothing to do with that today. No, that's true, but there's so many other ways in which we can have false weights and balances. You think of maybe charging someone too much for a service or a product, ripping them off. Taking advantage of people in one way or another, driving too hard a bargain, driving other people's profit margin down so low that you get all the benefit and they get most of the loss or hardly any profit. Engaging in false advertising, cheating in our expense claims, cheating in quantity or quality, doing our personal stuff on employers' time, stealing from our employers. Lots and lots of different ways we have frequent choices to make. Will I be honest or will I be dishonest? Will I tell the truth or will I tell a lie? Will I be fair or will I be false? God is in the workplace, watching and weighing our actions, noting honesty and dishonesty. And God, therefore, is telling us here there's a far higher principle than making money. Our work is not primarily about making money. We need that. That's there. It's primarily about God testing who we really are, whether we're fundamentally honest or dishonest. This is a far higher principle than making money, getting promotions, and having success. God doesn't test our work by our money, but by our morals. He doesn't test our work by our profit, but by our purity. So God tests us in our daily work. Now that changes surely how we view our job, how we view our work, our calling, our workplace. This raises the significance, the importance, the momentousness of what we're doing. Our daily work has eternal significance. So if that's our purpose, a higher purpose, if that's a way of elevating our view of what we do in our everyday life, that this is not for us, it's not for our families, it's not for our employers, it's not to impress others, it's all about how does God view this and am I dealing honestly or dishonestly. That helps give us a higher purpose. This is for God. This work, this calling, this study, This is for him. But what about the praise element? You know, what about the commendation? Well, that's where we go secondly here. God delights in our daily work. He tests us in our daily work, and he delights in our daily work. Again, let's do picture, principle, practice. Picture here is of the grain merchant. He's walking home. He's so happy. He can't see God, but God sees him. That's what this verse is telling us. However well we manage to cheat or defraud or scam people, however little people see it, however little authorities see it, God sees it all. God is walking from stall to stall, from workplace to workplace. He's seeing an honest person doing honest work, an honest day's work, and what is the word that he uses to describe his reaction? It's this: delight. Delight. And that is a massive word in the Bible. Believe it or not, it's the same word that God uses in Isaiah 42, verse 1, when he's speaking of Jesus, his son. He says, "Behold my servant, in whom I delight." The same word. The same word. So God the Father looks at God the Son. What kind of reaction do you expect from that? Just, "I'm so happy. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I am just so happy. I'm so delighted. This just thrills me to my soul to look at this beautiful person, Jesus Christ." It's also the same word used in Psalm 147, verse 11. It says, "The Lord delights in those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy." So here again, God's looking at his people who have a reverence for him and to put their trust in him. And though they're a weak people often and an afflicted people, when he sees that they fear me and they hope in me, he is so happy with that. He is delighted by it. Every time, believer, that you are in awe of God, or that you hope in God, you look to him for all your future, God says, "I really love that. I am so happy with that. I am delighted." Well, you might say, yeah, that's believable. God delighting in his son, God delighting in his people's religious exercises. And yet, the same word, the exact same word is used here of his people's business dealings. So what's the principle here? God delights in the honest and denounces the dishonest. And again, the word here for abhor, some of the versions have abomination. Just as there's no stronger word for happiness than delight, there is no stronger word for hatred than this word, abhors, abominates. God's not neutral about this at all. He is revolted by it. He's repulsed by it. He is against it. He's angry with it. It may be a cent or a dollar here or there, $100 here, $1,000 there. It just doesn't seem that much when you think of all the money that's in the world. I mean, I'm not one of the 1%. I'm one of the 99%. You know, they make all that money. They cheat. And I mean, what's just a little bit here and a little bit there? And God says, "It's nothing little in my sight. It's abhorrent to me. I abominate it. I abhor it." If delight is 10 on the scale of 0 to 10 of God's happiness, abomination is a 10 in the scale of 0 to 10 of God's hatred. So how do we bring this into our own practice then? Picture, principle, practice. The principle is, God delights in honesty and denounces dishonesty. Well, I think, first of all, this changes the way we view our work. So let's go back to the just a people. I'm just a homemaker. I'm just a plumber. I'm just a painter, whatever, right? Let's go back to them. What does this verse help you with? It's saying this to you. It's saying you don't need extraordinary acts of Christian service to please God. and you don't need to endure extraordinary Christian suffering to please God. What pleases God? This, simply, an honest day's work. An honest day's work. That changes everything. I mean, people might look at your job and say, that's so mundane, that's so boring, that's so repetitive. God looks at it and says, delightful, beautiful, pleasing. Keep doing that. Just keep being honest every single day in all your transactions, all your dealings, all your buying, all your selling, all your interactions, and I am just so happy. You don't need to be a pastor. You don't need to be a missionary. You don't need to work for a Christian company or organization. An honest day's work delights the Lord. Isn't that encouraging? Now, the second thing we have to work on here is faith. There are some things that are hard to believe in the Bible. This is hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure you all say, yeah, it's in the Bible. I just can't quite swallow this. I mean, really and truly, are you saying just an honest day's work makes God just deliriously happy? So we need faith, don't we? You may not be happy with your work. Your boss may not be happy with your work. But God's saying, if it's honest, I'm happy. I'm really happy. But it's not as if God comes and whispers that in your ear at the end of the day, does he? You know, as you're lying in bed wondering, is my life worth it? Is there really any point in me just going through this day after day? God doesn't come into our bedrooms and say, hey, I'm really happy. But he says it here in his word. And we need to exercise faith. We need to, I would take this, if you struggle with this, take it and just put it across your bed. So that's the first thing you see in the morning, the last thing you see at night. That will send you out with a spring in your step, and it'll send you to sleep with a spring, well, okay, what's the right metaphor for that? It'll send you to sleep with peace and trust in God. So banish forever the idea that your job is not worthwhile. Banish forever the idea that your job is not worth it, that I'm retired, I'm doing nothing now. No, if you're honest, you're doing everything. But it takes faith. You have to believe this. You have to take this verse into your soul by faith. And this is high praise. You want praise? Here's praise. God's saying, I praise you, I praise you, I pray. You will never have praise like this from anyone else. I mean, have you ever had a boss who's been so delighted in you? It's pretty rare. And yet here we've got a boss who expresses daily delight and daily honesty. But we also need to take the warning. That's the third practical application here. We need to take the warning that's paired with the comfort. Because it says the Lord abhors dishonest scales. What does it matter if you're pleased with yourself for conning others, defrauding others, or even pleasing your boss because you pulled a fast one, a client? What does it matter if God says, I abhor this? I abhor this. You always lose more than you gain through dishonesty. God is outraged by it. In fact, if you look at the rest of the verses here, verses 2 through 8, it's really an exposition, an expansion on this idea. It's telling you the consequences of these two ways of living. We don't have time to go through it verse by verse, but I'd encourage you to read it in the light of verse 1. That's the sort of foundation verse. And then look at how this unfolds for the honest and for the dishonest. And you'll really get a sense of the warning that is here together with the comfort. And we need both. Unfortunately, we do need both to drive us forward to honesty and away from dishonesty. But I want to finally come back to the other passage we looked at in Daniel. Remember? God, through Daniel, says to Belshazzar, you are weighed in the balances and found wanting. And really, that's our fourth application, isn't it? It's to remember that although God is weighing us day by day, there is a final weighing in at the final judgment. And Belshazzar was being told here, Belshazzar, you're about to die, you're about to be put in the scales of God's judgment, and we're going to see what you've got. And therefore, every time we encounter scales, we're to remember these divine scales at the end. You look at Proverbs 16:2, all a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. So try and fast forward yourself when you're tempted to use dishonest scales and weights. Fast forward yourself to that final weighing in. And God puts his scales of justice in front of you. And on the one side, he puts his weighty law, this heavy burden, this crushing load of divine law, holy law. And he'll invite you to say, what have you got for the other side? What have you got? And Belshazzar's told, Belshazzar, see, when you climb into that scale in just a few hours' time, you're going to be found wanting. You're not going to shift that scale. It's just not going to move. However weighty, however glorious you may be in this world, you've got no weight when it comes to being balanced against the law of God. You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting, lacking light. And so we have to challenge ourselves, what will we put in the scale when we are weighed at the end? What's your hope there? Is it, well, I'll jump in the scale and then I'll bring with me, you know, I was the child of godly parents and I went to First Byron CRC. I gave a lot of money as well and I served in various ways. I was good to my neighbors. I raised my family good and I didn't hurt anyone. And is that shifting the scale, do you think? You see the weight of God's law being met by that, do you? Do you think you've got a hope of getting that off the ground? You won't, will you? Neither will I. What's our only hope? Our only hope is the one who was weighed and found heavy, glorious, perfect, Jesus Christ. He's our only hope. He's the one that we bring with us into the balance. What happens when that happens? As soon as we have Christ with us on this side of the scales, up comes the law of God. Perfectly balanced, perfectly met. But not quite. It looked like that initially, but it's not quite there yet. What's the problem? You're still in the scale with Christ. You have to get out. And you have to say it's all Christ. It's not me plus Christ, not Christ plus me. It's not 99% Christ and 1% me. It's all Christ. That and that alone balances the scales. What a day that will be. When we look at that scale and we begin to see it lift, and we see Jesus in all his weighty glory and perfection, and it's bringing up the law of God until it's absolutely balanced. Heaven's doors open. We're welcomed in. That's how massive Jesus is. Is that who you are putting all your weight upon? Give God happiness by giving others honesty, and you'll give yourself happiness for all eternity. Let's pray.